got it. All right. Hey, it's Thursday.
Already?
Already. I'm in charge of bits and pieces, Tom. Here comes the wagon now. We've been spreading our news and opinion now for 2 hours. We got an old wooden wagon, and there's a horse that sits next to Tom. And I pull the wagon all the way up to the pond, and I let it go off to the side, and I die. I come back to the wagon. I pick up a whip and whip myself. Yeah, like that.
This narrative is making less and less sense.
No, it's still works. Until upper management comes along and goes, hey, enough of the wagon. Hey, here's the thing. We're going to get the damn wagon sponsored.
There you go.
Hey, sales department. You want to sponsor the old wagon and the horse? We'll sell this whole show out. All right. Thank you, Andrew, for helping out with the wagon. Certainly do appreciate that. You know, when you find a nice shirt you like to wear, you know, I don't mind wearing it 2 days in a row.
One guy writes in and says, you just want to make sure we're not twins today, so you wear the same damn shirt.
I made a big deal about Tom and I had the exact same shirt on. And today I woke up and I'm like, you know what? I sort of like this shirt. And the other beauty part of me, Andrew, mark the beauty part of me time.
11:07.
I don't smell. I wear deodorant. I put it on once a week on Sunday, and I don't smell. What's today?
Is that right?
What's today?
You just said it was Thursday.
Okay, then hold on. Come here.
No.
Come on.
I'm not
come
do
on.
This.
Just for
no,
a second.
I don't smell.
Come
you,
on.
John.
Yeah, over here. Right.
Yeah.
Just go ahead.
No.
Take a little whiff. No. Little whiff.
I'm gagging. I'm just gagging.
That is not true. You're jealous. All right, here we go. Starbucks. Remember after the big brouhaha, the two guys wouldn't leave the store.
You're
they
hairless.
Said, that has nothing to do with it. I have hair under my armpits. Oh, you don't want to smell them, but you want to see them? Come on. Hey, I'm doing news here.
Yes, that's a win.
Where's that whiff?
Why are you waving your arm?
I am grooved.
Like
I'm trying to get the whip back on. Come on now.
Jeez.
Gee whiz. All right, so remember the big brouhaha in Philadelphia? The two guys said, hey, can we use the bathroom? No, you got to be a customer. Are you going to buy anything? No. Are you going to leave? No. We're going to stay here and wait for business. We got a business deal that's going to happen here. Then the manager felt that they needed to go, so she calls 911. The cops show up. The cops ask them 3 times, will you leave? They say no. Then we're going to have to charge you with loitering and trespassing. The guys say, go ahead. Okay, we're going to have to arrest you. So they arrest him. And then the next day, Starbucks, with everybody's hair on fire, that apparently it's a racist organization, and they decide, hey, you know what we're going to do? On the 29th of May, we're going to close down all Starbucks, and we're going to bring our people in, and we're going to teach them about bias and about sensitivity and culture so that we can be a very, very responsive corporation. So good for you, Starbucks.
175,000 Starbucks employees are going to go
through it at the
symbolic,
same, at
the same time.
Beautifully symbolic, but absolutely meaningless action. By
well, we'll see. And that's one of the criticisms, but it's going to be a 4-hour training system. And by the way, it's 911, not 911.
What did I say?
You say 9/11. People do that all the time because now 9/11 is in our lexicon.
911.
You call 911. But still,
okay.
What's happening right now? They say in this article in the Wall Street Journal that 660, I think, news organizations have asked for access to this training, and they said no. But they did. They did provide a preview. Do we have?
I do.
To
I got some
it?
Of it. This okay. is Kevin Johnson, CEO.
This is the CEO.
Yeah. Here we go.
So to get things going, Kevin will welcome teams.
We are here to make Starbucks a place where everyone feels welcome.
And Common, one of our guides, will help folks start exploring their own identities.
Oh. Helping people see each other fully, completely, actor and musician. Respectfully.
Yeah.
Once
what's that, Tom?
He's an actor and musician. If you don't know Common, he won an Academy Award.
Oh, that's Common?
Award.
Common?
Yeah, that's
yeah, got Common on
yeah.
there. Okay, good. Is Common going to be there?
Everything is going to be videotaped because, remember, it's happening all across the country. So they say it's mostly videotaped stuff, and he is one of the guys who's taped something.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, there you go.
There you go. That'll keep people interested. Who else is going
to
be there?
Partners have gotten warmed up. They will start to explore the third place and its relation to our mission.
Third place, by the way, is you have your home, you have your office, and then you have your place that you like to use the bathroom, and that's Starbucks.
Hang out.
Howard will join the conversation and explain why the third place even matters.
Yeah.
Its origin story. And he'll also share his hopes and dreams for this next era.
And so on a personal level, I want to ask you that together, we do everything we can to build that third place in your store.
And it's from this anchoring point that partners move into a real and honest exploration of bias.
Where everyone is welcome.
Okay. Everybody's welcome.
Yeah. So do we have any more to play?
It's all you need.
Okay. So, no.
Gives you the general feeling.
This is the one thing that I think is a nice counter. The problem with that is that sounds like corporate speak with the music behind it and all that. Yeah. Now, one of the things that they say they're going to do in these preview videos, they're going to challenges of interactions with people experiencing homelessness, mental illness, visiting stores, drug users in the bathroom. In other words, they're allowing employees to talk about, here's what's tough about working at Starbucks. Yeah. Here's some of the, if they actually grapple with the real life consequences and concerns and dangers of what these employees are dealing with, then it might be a productive 4 hours. Now, the criticisms of this from people that take racial bias seriously. So these are not just people on the right who just say, it's not a problem, go on with it. It's a business, do what you want. Yeah. But it is being criticized for by some who say this is a great chance to see if there are any metrics by which we can determine if racial bias diminishes after you go through these kind of racial bias trainings. Mm-hmm. They say, how about this? Why don't you take 10, I don't know how many, 7,000, take a control group.
And don't have them. 100
and don't have them.
Right.
Or have them start it later and see if there's any kind of, just, you're missing a chance for this kind of a
social experiment.
Yeah, yes. Exactly. Yeah. I think is an intriguing notion. They Starbucks saying, well, it's just step one. We can do other things later. But we'll see how it goes. I think the problem with Starbucks, or the tough thing for Starbucks, is they see themselves as more than just a bottom line company. They want to see themselves as a company who does social good in the world. And because of that, it gets tricky when you have to deal with the real social world and the consequences of operating in that real world.
I wonder if the idea of, hey, you can come in, you can sit here, you don't have to buy anything, and you can take crap in our bathroom, and you can do whatever you want in the bathroom, and then you can leave the bathroom, and then the poor employees have to clean up after you because you've decided that this is just a place to hang out. I wonder if that comes back to bite them, because the rules they've set up is that you can sit there. So you could be a bum and have, like, your belongings as long as they're not taking up another chair. And as long as I wonder if they could kick you out for stinking up the joint. So you sit there, and you could sit there all day long, and Starbucks will not throw you out, I assume. Right, because they say you can come in and just hang out. This is your third place.
I admire Starbucks for trying to do this, but I do think that they may have gotten themselves into even more trouble by extending this. Because at some point there is, and they try to sort of elucidate what exactly, if you're a problem there, you're creating a problem that you can be ushered out, and the rules upon which you call 911 and that kind of stuff are being clarified, but. We'll see.
I would like to see how Starbucks does when it comes to employee turnover. So comparing Starbucks to other sort of food restaurant distribution businesses, they have a really good track record. It says that normal restaurants, quick service restaurants, that Starbucks falls into that, the turnover is 150 to 400%. Hire the person, and you're just constantly rotating. This sucks. I'm out of here.
Yeah.
Right? Starbucks, 65% turnover, which compared to their peers is pretty amazing. Yeah. And then this article went on to explain that how is it that they're able to keep people? They said what it is that the people that apply to Starbucks to get a job there are also the customers of Starbucks. So when they walk in to apply, there's an impression that needs to be made, which is, hey, we're welcoming and we want to know about you. And you can even go online to Starbucks when it shows you the jobs are available. It says, how should you act at one of our interviews? Just be yourself. We want to get to know you. So they want to leave a good impression with the person, whether they take the job or not, because it's a buyer's market for jobs.
Right.
So come in, have a good impression, feel as if Starbucks treated you well, and then even if you don't take the job, you'll still continue to visit that store or any other store as a Starbucks customer.
As a customer.
Yeah, and they also said they call them partners. You know that? They don't call them employees,
yes.
Right? So it's the partner. We're all partners in all this. And they do everything they possibly can to listen to their employees, according to this article. People complain about, hey, we don't like the restrictions on what we wear. 30% of the people that work at Starbucks complained about it, and the next year, you could wear whatever you want now.
You can?
Yeah, I mean, within reason.
Like a bikini barista kind of situation.
Not
I doubt that.
Quite.
No, okay.
Yeah.
Well, in fact, what I always heard, I don't know if this is still the case, but for the longest time, anybody who was in upper management had to have worked as a barista.
Yes.
In other words, you had to, if you didn't come from the, from the bottom up, you had to work at the bottom at least to get a sense of what, the front line is like.
William Morris Agency used to have a thing, everybody started in the mailroom.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah.
Turnover, by the way, costs the average company $2,004 per team member. I remember when I worked at the Grand Hyatt in New York City, and they showed us one of those, you know, drink the Kool-Aid videotapes. And they had Joe Hyatt from the Hyatt family walking around the hotel. And he'd like go in, he's coming through the hallway, and all of a sudden he sees a Hispanic woman with a mop, and she's mopping. And he goes, "Que pasa, Maria?" And then she goes, "Hi, Joe, how are you?" And then he goes, "Buenos dias, Maria." So this is the beauty of Joe Hyatt. He was speaking Spanish, Tom, and she was speaking English. It wasn't a dry eye in the house.
I was hoping you'd
say... She was mopping her tears because it was so incredibly moving.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
I was hoping you'd say he'd grab the mop. Here, let me help you with
that.
You.
Let me show you. Maria, buenos dias. Oh, Lord. And if I were a Starbucks employee, just sitting there for 4 hours, you're like, they better have enough celebrities because that makes it interesting. Yeah, it beats working. I mean, and they probably get paid.
Right? I would assume so, yeah.
All right. Well, it'll be 6 months from now. Let's see if they change their policy.
No, I think it'll be a good test. By the way, 8,000 are shutting down. There are 7,000 across the country that are not owned by the company.
That's right, yeah.
And so they're going to offer this kind of training manual to them and to other companies. They're you know, sort of generating this out of whole cloth, in effect, and so they're going to offer it to other companies.
Oh, if I were in the business of selling that sham education thing, that anti-bias stuff, even the people that came up with the whole idea of anti-bias, there's two of them, one from University of Washington, two from Harvard. They came up with 1997, the idea of implicit bias and what can you do about it. Even they have come out and said, this training stuff just don't work.
Yeah, well, that's a suspicion that the critics, people that would like to see it addressed, feel like, yeah, we need to get better info on how it can be better addressed.
Que pasa, Maria? let's see. It was rough social justice at Evergreen State. This is an editorial that's in the Wall Street Journal talking about...
Are you going off our new list?
Oh, where's the new list?
Okay. I mean, we can still talk
about that. No. I don't want to talk about you.
No,
I don't
know.
Obviously. You won't even. By the way, Andrew, at what point in the show did Tom refuse to smell my armpit? At what point in the show was it? Do you remember the time?
It was the beginning of this segment.
It was
wasn't
like
it?
Nine. It was like nine.
We'll call it.
Like 11:10 or something like
that. Let's say 11:10.
Let me tell you something. Two things bother me. One, you've never texted me outside the show. Never done. And I offer my armpit as a friend, as a person who's known you for 4 years, and you won't even breathe through your nose.
And based on that 10:30 segment, I don't want you stalking me either anymore.
I'm not going to stalk
you.
I'm done. No, I'm fine. If you want to be a
usually I'm proud of the goofiness on this show, but occasionally I'm not.
Let it go. There's a plumber, Tom, and if you want to get a job as a plumber, boy, they've got all sorts of perks they can offer you from trips and
this
beer and ping pong tables because plumbers are in such high demand. A friend of mine wanted a plumber the other day. He calls the plumber and says, "Hey, I need a plumber to come by work on this sink in the kitchen." It's a faucet problem, right?
Yeah.
Plumber goes, "Yeah, first available is going to be the 9th. Of August." It's like, what? 9th of August?
End of summer.
There's a dearth of plumbers, so how can you attract people to want to be plumbers?
It really is an amazing article that right now they are being feted, much like the high-tech employees are. They are getting all of these kind of like exercise rooms. Mm-hmm. They're building bigger gyms for them. They're offering craft beer services. I mean, the thing is, it's amazing all the kinds of perks that they're giving to plumbers because plumbers are hard to come by. That they focus on this one particular one. The company has 120 employees. It's a big family business. They say it's been the hardest they've ever been seen in 30 years to attract people. So they have on-site spa treatments, exotic trips, jet ski outings. They have all the things that we used to mock or, you know, drool over about how high-tech employees were dealt with are now they're sort of the perks of this trade. And they say, why is that? Why are you having – they said they had to pay them like an extra $20 an hour. The average is something like $60,000 a year. But he says now it's up to $75,000, and a lot of people can clear $100,000 on that score. And they say the reason is that they've got – the society still has kind of tired misperceptions swirling around the trade. It's the butt crack and it's the slobs side, you know, one of the guys who's running. Mm-hmm. He says it has no cachet, this particular job. And because of that, it's hard to attract new people. People that when a manual labor job was just seen as a, you know, as just that's the way of the world. we had plenty of people turning out for that. But now that generation is retiring, and it's not cool for young people. They don't think of making $100,000 as a plumber is attractive enough, and so they have to come up with all these other perks. It's an amazing, you know, kind of psychological or sociological development about the value of jobs and how much they're worth.
So everybody has a price. So how high does the salary have to go to attract somebody to go into plumbing? And you, here's what awaits you if you decide you want to be a plumber. Rather than sitting behind a desk, plumbers crawl into tight spaces and work from horizontal positions, sometimes even hanging upside down to reach a precarious positioned pipe. You're on a 24-hour call. You don't have a fixed schedule. You'll find the excitement and the satisfaction of stopping a leak.
Well, it is true. I would imagine that a plumber, like a carpenter or something, at the end of the day, you fix something. You've got something, you know, quantifiable
right.
You can point to that says that with it, without me, that wouldn't be there. And so I think there would be some kind of satisfaction with that. There are now signing bonuses up to $5,000.
When we're in the pre-show meeting, even though people don't think we have a pre-show meeting, I said I'd become a plumber. And you were like,
yes. Because I know you, John, and you wouldn't.
Why not?
You do not. I don't think they could pay you enough money in the world because it's not the kind of job where you, I think, can get enjoyment out of. You're a very social person. Unless you really interact with the person who's plumbing you or addressing,
yes.
I think that you would feel it kind of a lonely job, and you need an audience, and I don't think there's a big enough audience in that bathroom for you.
I said to you that any job is an okay job, if not a great job, if the people you work with are fun.
Yes.
Yes. I've had horrible jobs,
yes.
But I couldn't wait to go because everybody was so fun.
Yes. No, okay. I get that. But there's nobody that's that fun. When you're a plumber, I mean, I don't know, maybe if you work on a big site where you work with fellow plumbers
and you got the electricians and they're in there, they call those guys Sparky. Everybody's got like nicknames for each other and you'd all be friends.
I think this is why I know you've never done it, because you are romanticizing something that a lot of people probably have a hard time.
They don't call the electrician Sparky? You don't think so?
Only at party time.
No. I'm telling you right now.
I mean, I just don't. So you wouldn't, for $105,000, which is the happiness peak we're going to talk about to living in Seattle.
Yeah.
I think you would go crazy.
I don't know. I think if I had like somebody else to kind of goof around with, or
if it's a two-man operation.
Yeah, two-man operation would be good. Yeah, I'd be all right with it. But like going out in a van by myself, I would be like, hey, stay. So you have a problem with the kitchen, and you're underneath there going, so what? What are you? Any good restaurants you've been to? Hey, are you still out there? Hey!
You'd get one job done a week, but you'd have a good time doing it.
So tell me about going. Now, who did you go to the prom with? Hey, you still out there?
Anyway, there's gold in them. They're pipes, it sounds like.
Do it, baby. We'll come right back to Tom and Curly Show. And by the way, text 98973. Am I not right that plumbers will refer to electricians on the site as Sparky? Please, I hope that's true, just so I can rub that in Tom's face like my armpit. I was out of the studio for that entire break, and nobody seemed to panic when I wasn't here. See that Ursa threw back coming out of the break, and no one concerned.
We could have made it the Ursula and Tom show for a little bit.
Hey, now we're talking.
All right, fine. Every once in a while, I test the boundaries.
That's right. Tomorrow, wear a new shirt, why don't you?
Wow. Really? Did you see that, Ursula?
Yowza.
I need zero res to get over here and work on this thing.
They do a really good job.
Oh, my gunk. Technology. We like things that would seem to be counterintuitive. And this one is the technology impact on your brain. What do you think we're going to say? Look out. You can get addicted to your cell phone. That's causing all sorts of problems. Teenage suicide goes up. People have isolation, and they feel less connected to each other, even though they were supposed to be connected by the cell phone. But according to this, is this guy a psychiatrist?
He's a psychologist.
He says it's overblown.
The moral panic
over tech addiction is based on weak data.
That's right. And he goes through. Now, he's officially on the record. He is one of like 28 psychologists who signed a letter protesting the World Health Organization's decision to go ahead and add gaming addiction to its list of mental health problems. So he's very much in the battle of this. But he lays out, I think, a pretty compelling case that we are mistaking the symptom for the cause. And he says that, first off, they always say that you'll look at the dopamine centers. in the brain when you're on cocaine. It lights up the dopamine centers just like when you're on you're using technology. Mm-hmm. So therefore, that's a bad thing. And he says, okay, first off, slow down here. That dopamine center is good for all sorts of things. It doesn't just respond to things that are a threat to you.
Yeah.
That dopamine center is anytime you're doing anything fun,
yes,
like going for a swim or having a good conversation or
cheeseburger,
sex with somebody, yes, eating, mm-hmm, that the dopamine centers light up. And he says what they do is they increase, the dopamine centers increase their activity by 50 to 100%.
Okay.
When you're dealing with technology, when you're having a good swim, when you're having sex, when you're doing all these things, cocaine, he says, goes up like 350%.
Mm-hmm.
So to say that they're, because it impacts the same part of the brain, it doesn't impact it to the same level, that's a bogus argument, mm-hmm, altogether. He says that we got to make these distinctions about the kind of pleasures one gets. He also says, in terms of the activities involved here, it's not very common. Based on his research, he says only 3% of people suffer from what he considers gaming addiction. Like people,
yes,
just cannot let go of the phone. He says, sure, we all look at people and say, how do they spend that much time? They may spend 8 hours a day or more on their screen playing games. He says, it's just kind of a developmental stage that people, mm-hmm, can go through. You know, when you're in 9 and 10 years old, these boys, I know a lot of us, when I was growing up, we were so into sports. Oh, my God, everything. We knew all the details about, mm-hmm, every team. And then eventually you kind of outgrow that. He says that's what happens with this gaming addiction. 97% of people that get into gaming get out of it, too, without, uh-huh, any kind of treatment. This is not a mental illness. To make that kind of connection is just... it's bogus, he says, and there's no science to back it up. That's the basic argument.
But I will just point to, if you're sitting in front of a video screen playing a game for 4 hours, as opposed to running around outside and actually getting fresh air and circulation and muscle development and balance and everything else and interaction with other people.
He's not saying it's healthy, John. He says it's just not an addiction.
It's not as bad as what people say.
Exactly,
right.
Yes.
I would say that it is a slow, and you're not going to point to sort of in the end of the society or Western civilization comes to an end because of the cell phone, but certainly the way people communicate, and let's not take the kids out of it, just adults in general.
Okay.
And there's been all sorts of studies and Andrew talked about this the other day, I think off the air, is that if you put a cell phone on a table between two people and, mm-hmm, then you ask them, do you think that the other person heard you? I think it was 30% a decline in whether or not the person...
you believe the other person is listening about 30% less of the time than they actually are.
Because the cell phone, yes, is present.
Yes.
Right.
Because clearly you have a priority in your life that isn't you.
Right.
That phone call could mean something. I think that's true, but that's not the same thing to say as it's an addiction. I mean, the idea is now for one, you can say, I'm addicted to my phone. Yeah, because you would really miss it if you didn't have it because you become so reliant on it. But he says, to treat it like a physical ailment is, mm-hmm, false. Now, he does say, admits 3% of people that are gaming really do have maybe some kind of, their brain patterns are actually... affected. But his argument is that this is the kind of thing he's not encouraging kids and, babies to be, mm-hmm, looking at screens, but he says, I just think we're overblown is what it's a moral panic based on weak data. That's his argument.
Okay, but is there a point where, because we said the other day, last week, I think we said more than 2,170 sometimes the average person looks at their phone a day.
Yes.
If that went up to 5,000 times, would we then decide, now that's an extreme amount. 5,000 times to check your phone, that's wild. Or 3,000 is too much. What's the too much times to check your phone?
I think that he would say, why do you check your phone that much? So he says that there can be underlying disorders for somebody who's spending that much time on a phone. If you spend 8 hours on your phone or 24 hours on your phone, he says you're probably dealing with things, real things like depression, anxiety, and attention problems. And here's his line. People don't think that depressed people who sleep all day have a bed addiction.
Oh.
They're dealing with some other issue, and that's how they show it. I go, I think that's well put, that it is a symptom of something that's not going right. It's not the cause of it.
Mm-hmm.
So
I've tried to be better about it. So now I go out, head on out. I don't bring my cell phone with me.
You don't? What do you mean?
No,
head on out to
at 6 o'clock.
Okay.
Like if I'm going to go get dinner.
Okay.
Lace's home with the kids. I'm going to go get dinner. Don't bring the phone.
Okay.
Because, like the Pine Lake Ale House, I like to sit at the bar and get the salmon and spinach salad.
Okay.
But if I have my phone, then I'm not communicating with the people sitting around me. So, but then I found out is that most people are on their phone.
Yes, exactly.
So you can't break through. There's no. So then you might as well take your phone out. So I'm just sitting there like a big dummy staring at the television set that has no audio on it.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So, yeah, but if other person would put down their phone, that's somewhere where the greatest conversations occur, right there at those bars, especially if the used to go to those airport bars. You could talk to people coming in, where you're flying in from.
Right,
everybody's
yeah.
got some horror story of how bad yeah. the flight was or whatever. Or you could talk about the Green Bay Packers. Now everybody's just isolated.
I wonder if that's true. Do you think that more people had more conversations before phones? Because I'm not sure. When you go to a bar, you tend not to have many conversations with the individuals at the bar because you're with your buddies.
Or you could be involved. My father always used to say men from anywhere and all walks of life could have one topic that they can launch from.
Absolutely.
Sports.
You
right.
bet.
Right. You could talk to somebody at, yes. you're waiting at a Red Robin bar. Yes. You're in Cincinnati. And it's like, golly, can you believe Dallas yeah. Cowboys?
No, I think that's true. You can talk to somebody who makes 10 times more than you and 10 times less than you.
Right.
And it's the same. You're all in the same
right.
conversation.
And when the Seahawks were going crazy,
yeah.
I remember standing at a gas station and I'm having a three-way conversation with these guys that are all around. Everybody's talking.
Yeah.
Oh, my. Russell Wilson. Yeah. Did you see that? Yeah. My dad used to say, what do women have? What's the one topic that women have that they can sit down at a bar with and turn to another woman, total stranger, regardless of where they are on the economic ladder, and have the same sort of connection? The answer is?
The royal family.
Oh, my God. All right. Hey, write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Got a wicked letter from a guy that's a big Alex Jones fan. And it's a long letter, and we'll try to get through as much as we possibly can. Write to us at mynorthwest.com. Text as well at 98973. Still looking for letter of the day. Don't think we have one yet. You can rise to the top. It's the Tom and Curley Show right here on Cairo Radio, 97.3 FM. Here we go. Doug's Linwood Mazda, thanks a lot for sponsoring the letters, and thanks also for giving a Mazda, a brand new Mazda, 2019 model. The mailman is rolling in style. He got rid of that old hoopty-mobile he was rolling around in, thanks to the U.S. Postal Service, Tom. Now he's got style as he comes rolling in and singing this song. Doug's Linwood Mazda, here comes the mailman.
I'm the mailman, as you can see, I'm the mailman, don't nobody mess with me. I'm the mailman, if you didn't know, I'm the mailman, I bring the mail to your door.
Yeah, thanks mailman, appreciate all the letters, you know, they're pouring in right now. A teeny tiny lady who lives in a pickle jar and she has a good time with it.
Hello!
Hello, you too. She's going to tell us about the letter of the day. She's the one that's in charge, Tom. She knows when the letter of the day is supposed to come in. So here are all the others. You ready? Let's begin.
All right, we'll talk about grassroots. You were proclaiming at the beginning of the show how all of these major corporations were pitching in and working with activists, and grassroots activists.
Uh-huh.
I question whether they were really grassroots activists. Usually corporations don't
They're working with grassroots.
Yes. And Janice writes in and says, a grassroots movement is one which uses the people of a given district, region, or community,
mm-hmm.
sounds like a definition, as the basis for a political or economic movement.
Okay.
Those who are opposing the head tax are a grassroots movement. We are a group of people, and yes, businesses that oppose the head tax.
Yes.
Many, if not all at this point, of those who are collecting signatures for the referendum are a group of unpaid volunteers. We are a grassroots campaign, Tom. Go to the Speak Out Seattle Facebook page.
Thank you, Janice. North Korea summit cancellation. Dell in Linwood. Trump says no one should be anxious. Him being president makes me extremely anxious.
On the plumbers and electricians business, Kathleen Stanwood, I work at a wastewater plant.
Yeah.
The nickname for our electrician is Reg, after the guy in the movie The Great Outdoors who was struck by lightning 66 times.
I interrupt the letters just for a moment. There's a woman waving her hands frantically in the back of the studio. Yes?
Is my pizza going to be covered in cocaine today?
Gosh, Andrew? Take that as a yes.
The multitude. Yes!
All right.
That's
hey, you're
going to
make some more pizza? That's right. Oh, my gosh.
They've already had the cocaine.
206. I'm a Sparky. All trades refer to electricians as Sparkies.
there you go.
Thank you.
And 206, John is absolutely right on this one, Tom. I'm a general contractor, and I work with subs all day long. We have a great time on the job site.
See?
There is a camaraderie. Sparky tells his story, and Joe the plumber has his. We marvel in the job security afforded us by how little today's youth are interested in the trades.
It's true.
Supply and demand pricing is going to buy me that new boat. Yeah.
That's right, because the kids don't want to do it, and they're like, that's fine with us. 425, concerning participation trophies. I was in the YMCA as a child and slash young teen. I was legally blind, so I couldn't see the ball very well enough to play basketball slash football, but I kept busy doing things for the team. I was given a trophy at the end of the season, and I treasured them. Getting nothing while the rest of the teammates got a trophy would have destroyed my self-esteem.
So there's your counter story. Right. And this is Allie in Seattle. When I was younger, I got a god-awful ball. I was a god-awful ball athlete. Couldn't hit the ball off the tee, got hit in the face with a basketball, did cartwheels on the soccer field, etc. But getting those participation trophies was so exciting. One more shiny thing to add to my new shelf. I knew I was a bad athlete, but it was fun to get a memento from the season. Well, we have a pushback from people that enjoy their participation.
By the way, she was a god-awful ball athlete.
Yeah, I know. It sounds like Mitt Romney. I love sport.
She could have stopped right there as I was a god-awful ball athlete. We would have gotten the point. As someone who received plenty of participation ribbons as a child, I can tell you the kids understand how worthless they are without their parents needing to be outraged about it.
Oh.
All right.
And a Hugh and a Raymond. Hey, John.
Yeah.
If you had taken those kids to the Sammamish Papa John's and ordered the pizza with extra olives, I doubt there would have been any pizza left to throw away.
That is true. Because it is Cocaine Thursday. On your pizza, Amazon may be listening from Carnation in regards to Amazon Echo storing your commands to do it. Microsoft's Windows operating system does the same thing. They just added a feature this month to track everything you do on your computer. Just click Settings, Privacy, Active History.
Activity history.
Activity history.
But Jim and Elma is watching, who says, nice job, John. Wearing the same shirt 2 days in a row guarantees that you and Tom won't be twins. Jim also adds, something I wish that had never been invented is the radio. Therefore, I would not be addicted to your show every day.
And more on the things that should never have been invented. Our kids wish for cell phones hadn't. Okay, 425, John and Tom, thank you for talking about how we're going so wrong when it comes to the cavalier acceptance. No real questions asked of technology, especially the cell phones. Sad to see moms and dads at the parks and playgrounds with their children, but no one really being with them. Hey, everybody, let's start taking a serious look at this thing.
About diving into the chemically laden news, John, 425. Mm-hmm. John, have you ever had Alex Jones test the water in the pond you dive into? It might be turning the freaking frogs gay.
What? What?
We'll get to that.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
That's right. I will say, there is some science that the frogs are becoming, they have both sexes or only one sex or they're not
hermaphroditic
having...
is what you're looking for.
Yeah, yeah,
you're
yeah.
still stretching.
Okay.
Ooh.
Oh, wow. Already? Hang on. Where is she? Who moved the lady?
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
I actually kicked it over and rolled under the desk.
By the way, we mentioned Alex Jones today, and we heard from a legion of his fans seeking the truth.
Okay.
Or at least this one.
Okay.
Comes from 425, who proves our point about how rabid his fans can be. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
Alex Jones didn't do anything to those Sandy Hook families. These fake lawsuits are just a way to get negative publicity for Alex Jones because he tells the truth.
Mm-hmm.
We know what's going on. You should consider not talking about Alex Jones at all, unless you want to cover things that he actually talks about, like CDC vaccines, whistleblower Dr. William Thompson, the Hegelian dialectic, geoengineering, the neurotoxicity of fluoride.
Yeah, keep going, Tom. I'm still looking for
the
something.
The weather derivatives market, fractional reserve banking, Project Blue Beam, the Monsanto patent for aluminum-resistant GMO seeds.
Yeah.
You know what, 425? You forgot one conspiracy, so we thought we'd fill everyone in on the truth once more.
Here it is, one more time, everybody.
I don't like them putting chemicals in the water that turn the friggin' frogs gay.
Yeah. There we go.
Take that!
Wow. Apparently we're not supposed to talk about him anymore.
That'd be fine with me.
Out of time. Bye-bye.